Ashlyn Blocker is one of 22 people worldwide known to have a condition called congenital insensitivity to pain, CIP. She literally feels no pain. She can feel pressure, but she cannot feel bumps, bruises, bug bites, even broken bones, and she's had all of those. She has literally put her hand into boiling water and felt absolutely nothing. Ashlyn and her parents live in fear of her getting hurt and not knowing that she's hurt. And what is a bit of irony is that there is a Canadian biotech company that was doing some research with families like the Blockers and have come through with what's a breakthrough, actually. But it's not going to help Ashlyn or people like her, but may help the rest of us. It is might be the next generation of painkiller that mimics the condition that she has. It's not going to help her, but it may be with the opioid epidemic, it's sort of a nerve blocker that mimics what CIP does that may help us, but of course is not going to help her. It helps people not feel pain, but it doesn't help people like her that doesn't feel pain. Now, what does all that have to do with what we've been talking about in this series that we're calling the outcasts? People that Jesus come across in the Gospel of Luke that are people on the fringes of his culture that were basically outcasts. Well, in Luke chapter 5, Jesus comes across a man whose life has been destroyed by leprosy. In the Bible, leprosy is not just a disease, what we know as Hansen's disease, but any number of different scaly skin conditions. In the Old Testament, they didn't have doctors. What they had was priests. And so people went to the priest anytime they had something that approximated leprosy. In Leviticus chapter 13, the priests are given instruction. When anyone has a swelling or a rash or a shiny spot on their skin that may be a defiling skin disease, leprosy, they must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons who is a priest. And there's a long series of instructions to the priest who is to look at the rash or the scaly skin disease and determine whether or not it is leprosy and whether or not it makes the person unclean and how long. And well, the person keeps coming back and the priest makes a definition. And he just, if you read that chapter, it talks about how long the big the spot is and whether it has a hair in it, what color the hair is, and whether it's oozing and not oozing. And I'm really glad that we live in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament, and that y'all can go to dermatologists rather than come to me to determine whether or not you've got leprosy or not. But people would keep coming to the priests, and once the spot changed, they could be declared clean or not, and they offered sacrifices, and they could come back. But see, if they really had leprosy, they weren't going to get clean. If they had what we would call Hansen's disease, the spot would become larger and more disfiguring and would just get worse and worse, and eventually they would die. They simply didn't get better if they had leprosy. Leprosy isn't really a skin disease. It's really a disfiguring nerve condition, much like CIP, which we mentioned earlier. It robs the victim from being able to feel pain. There's some disfiguration and thickening to different parts of the body that's caused by the leprosy itself, but much like CIP, you don't feel pain, and so you injure yourself. In fact, what happens a lot of times, and you've seen the pictures of people with leprosy that are missing fingers, what happens a lot of times is that they hurt themselves, or rats chew off their fingers, or they don't know that they're being hurt, and that's why they are disfigured. Dr. Paul Brand, who wrote several books along with Philip Yancey, and who worked with people in different parts of the world that had leprosy, calls leprosy a painless hell. Well, the reality of the leper is seen in Leviticus, at the end of Leviticus 13, where the law says anyone with such a defiling disease, leprosy, must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. In other words, they must, by their appearance and by what they call out, identify themselves as a leper so that no one ever comes in contact with them. Everyone that that sees them will know that they are a leper. And as long as they have the disease, they will remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp for the rest of their lives. Remember, you don't just become healed of leprosy. For the rest of their lives, they are going to live apart from people. They are going to be the ultimate outcasts, living in separation. Jesus is going to come across a leper in Luke chapter 5 who's going to break the rules. In fact, in Luke chapter 5, Jesus himself is going to break the rules. Let's look at the story. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus is approached by a leper. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered in leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, as we mentioned Wednesday night, Luke is the only one of the gospel writers to tell this story. And most the three synoptic gospels tell this story virtually the same. And we're going to see Mark's version in a second. But Luke is the only one to add the detail that he was covered in leprosy or full of leprosy, and that doesn't surprise us. Luke is the doctor, so he adds the medical diagnosis. The leprosy is advanced. Now, Luke doesn't give us a lot of context here. There's no one around to witness it, although Luke has just told us about Jesus calling apostles. Peter, James, and John are called as apostles. And right after this, Jesus has one of his run-ins with the Pharisees. It would have been interesting if there would have been someone around to witness this run-in, but there's no direct context here. What we are told, however, is that Jesus has this contact with the leper in the town while Jesus was in one of the towns. So the leper breaks the law by following Jesus into the town. We just read from Leviticus, right? That the leper was supposed to stay outside of the town. He's not supposed to be in the town. But see, when you're dying of leprosy, you don't stand on formality. At the end of chapter 4, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, and that reputation sort of spreads until right at the end of chapter 4, people are bringing their sick from all over the area. And so evidently the reputation of Jesus as a healer is spreading. And so somehow this leper hears about Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus, he follows him into town. He's not yelling, "Unclean, unclean." What he's yelling is, "Jesus, if you want to, you can heal me." Well, Jesus kind of responds to faith like that. And so what he calls back is, "Well, I want to." So we continue the story. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I'm willing. If you're willing, you can heal me." Jesus says, "I'm willing." He said, "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Now, I mentioned that Luke has an interesting take on this. His words are virtually identical. He has two little differences. Different enough that I want to mention it. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. Now, Luke said he fell on his face. And Mark says he fell on his knees. Well, you can fall on your face and your knees at the same time. That's not a big difference. "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. That's the big difference in the story. And he reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing, be clean." Jesus was indignant. Well, there's a little bit of difference in the manuscripts. Some of your translations will say that Jesus had compassion, which sounds a lot more like Jesus. The translations differ because the manuscripts differ a little bit. The words are very close, but they are different. How would Jesus be indignant? Well, he's not indignant, but like Man, I'm late to lunch. What are you bothering me for? Not that kind of indignant. We might be indignant like that. He's indignant because the world that he created doesn't have lepers in it. The world that Jesus made should not have so many sick people in it. Sickness and suffering and pain are part of a world that has been twisted by sin and by Satan. And Jesus sometimes gets angry because what we've done to our world. There's an interesting story a little bit later in Mark where a man that is deaf and dumb is brought to Jesus. And Jesus takes him aside. Mark 7, verse 33. He took him aside, away from the crowd, and Jesus put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched the man's tongue. And he looked up to heaven with a deep sigh. And says, Epaphra, which means be opened. And he heals him so that he can talk and hear. Why the deep sigh? Because this isn't the way it's supposed to be. There's not supposed to be brokenness and pain and suffering in the world that Jesus created. This kind of stuff was created because of our rebellion and our sin. And that's what Jesus came into the world to deal with. And so sometimes Jesus is just aggravated because Satan has had so much sway and has caused so much pain and brokenness in his world. And sometimes Jesus is just so annoyed. Not at us, but because of us. I just thought that was interesting. Let's just go back to our story in Luke 5. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus says, I am willing. Be clean. And he heals the leper. Imagine the reaction of the leper that, you know, remember, he's full of leprosy. And all, Jesus cleanses him, and he looks down, and for the first time, you know, the way that you describe leprosy that's been healed is your skin is white as snow. And he looks down, and his fingers are back. And that kind of makes what comes next interesting, I think. Here's what follows in the story, verse 14. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Don't tell anybody. Just go to the priest. You know, that's the expert. Go to the clergy. Let him witness it, because, you know, you're not really clean until the preacher says so. Something in me that kind of likes that. And offer your sacrifice, and then it will be so. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him to be healed of their sicknesses. Yeah, there's something about that that's kind of interesting. Jesus tells the man not to tell anybody what happened. Go show the priest, but don't tell anyone. That strikes us as odd that Jesus would expect him not to tell anyone. We love that when somebody says, you know what happened is really exciting, but you can't tell anybody. You know, that's just expecting too much, particularly something this. But pragmatically, you understand. Jesus is here to accomplish. He's going from village to village to tell the message, as Mark and Luke both summarize it, that the good news of the kingdom is here. So he's going. But the more that people crowd around him, the harder it is for him to do this, right? There's an interesting story in John 6 about how the message gets out to the point where the crowds crowd around him. So finally, they come in John 6 and verse 15, they come and try to make him a king by force. You know, the message of his miracles get out to the point they figure he's the Messiah, and so they're ready to make him a king by force because they think that he's going to be the Messiah. We might as well get rid of the Romans sooner rather than later. And so they're ready to crown him today. Several times when Jesus performs miracles, he tells people, don't tell anyone. Because the more people know, the more they crowd around, the harder it is for him to have moments like this one where he's one-on-one with people and able to teach and to heal and to minister. You recall the very first time when The apostles themselves come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah. Who do people say that I am? Well, John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. Well, who do you say that I am? And Peter finally comes to the conclusion, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. The very first thing that Jesus says, don't tell anyone. Because they're going to misunderstand what that means. For right now, keep it to yourself. See, that's ironic. Because he tells them not to tell anyone. But now, after the crucifixion and the resurrection, there's the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He tells us, who have been saved by His mercy and grace, go into all the world and tell everyone. And He can't get us to tell anyone. Isn't that ironic? We're supposed to tell everyone we meet about the mercy and goodness of God. And we have a hard time telling anyone. The part of this story that really sticks out to us, right, is the part where Jesus touches the leper. Here is this guy, if we can trust Luke, is full of leprosy. That means he's probably missing digits. That means his face is deformed. One of the things that happens with lepers is their features get thick and their nose gets big before it starts getting eaten away. And so they're deformed. So he's full of leprosy. And Jesus reaches out and touches him. And one of the things that we know is that Jesus doesn't have to touch him to heal him. Right? Can we agree on that? Jesus doesn't have to touch him. One of the things that Matthew is kind of adamant about in one of the healing miracles that involves casting out demons is that in Matthew 8, verse 15, Jesus casts out the demons, Matthew adds, with a word. He just speaks. You know, sometimes we refer to the casting of demons as exorcisms, which is really not accurate because exorcism sort of makes you think of ceremonies and rituals and kind of a big rigmarole sort of thing. The way that Jesus did that, he said, "Get out," and they got out. It was a word, right? So Jesus could have done that with the leprosy. He could have said, in fact, that's what he does. He says, "I am willing, be clean." We have a story we're going to talk about tonight in our small group where there is a kind of a drive-by cleansing of lepers where you see some in a distance and they're calling out for help and he doesn't even let them come close. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And while they're on the way, they notice that they're clean. You'll know more about that one. Come tonight at 5 o'clock, and we're going to talk about that one a little bit. That's a commercial, in case you didn't recognize that. So Jesus could do that. He could have just said, "Be clean." He doesn't touch him because he needs to touch him to heal him. He touches him because he needs to be touched. He's been hideous for years. How long has it been since he had anybody touch him? For years, every time anybody was in earshot, he's had to yell, "Unclean!" And he really didn't need to do that because everybody would run the other way anyway. And so Jesus, rather than running, walks to him. And rather than being repulsed, comes in his direction. And rather than walking away, walks to him and reaches out his hand and touches him. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. He needed to be healed of this dread disease, but he needed to be accepted, he needed to be received, he needed to be included, he needed to be touched as part of the healing process. Yeah. But mainly because he needed to be touched. Again, the part of the story that really stands out is the part that Jesus touched him. But there's another side of this. See, uncleanness is, in the Old Testament system of things, is kind of like cooties. You get it by touching somebody that has it, right? So the ultimate uncleanness is somebody that has leprosy. And so when Jesus touches the leper is unclean. And so when Jesus pulls back, If it's anybody else except Jesus, he pulls back with uncleanness on his hands. Here's Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 3. If they, the people they're talking about, this is a whole chapter on how you become unclean and what you have to do about it. And I just pull that one little verse here. If they touch human uncleanness, if anybody does, anything that would make them unclean, if you touch anything that would make you, like a corpse or anything a corpse touches, would, even though they are unaware of it, okay, if you come across a corpse on the road, it could be a corpse of anything. Jews in the Old Testament could not find a dead deer and do anything with it. If it's dead, it's unclean. If you happen to decide you want the antlers off of that trophy buck that you found that was already dead, and you harvested those antlers, you're unclean. But you put them in the bag and you take them home and you mount them on the wall. I don't know if Jews did that sort of thing. Probably not. That sounds like something that we invented in America. But then you take the bag and you put the bag right there. The bag is unclean, and now the pulpit's unclean. And then later, you pick the bag up, the pulpit's still unclean. I come along later, and I touch the pulpit. Now I'm unclean, even though I don't realize that the pulpit became unclean because there was a bag that used to hold carrion in it. You see how uncleanness works? I didn't realize it. See, but that's not what happened with Jesus. He intentionally touched somebody that was unclean. So, this is one of those questions we can talk about in Sunday school class, because we like to talk about these kind of things. Did Jesus become unclean, and did he have to go back and offer a sacrifice and go through a purification process so that he wasn't unclean anymore? You see, that's the kind of thing that, we talk about this Wednesday night, right, in class, if you were in class Wednesday night. The Pharisees were looking for some way to catch Jesus, and so because he had annoyed them. So they were looking out, and they saw his disciples picking grain on the Sabbath day and rubbing it in their hands and picking out the grain. And so they, look, your disciples are doing something that was unlawful on the Sabbath. And so then Jesus busts on them and shows them several things that they got wrong. And then at the end of that text in Matthew 12 and verse 7, he says, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. He says, your heart's not in the right place. That's the reason you would come up with something like that. And then at the end of that, he says, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, I don't follow the rules. I am the rule. Of course, they didn't have any idea what he was talking about. I wrote the rules on the Sabbath. I think I understand what the Sabbath is about. The idea is the Sabbath wasn't written to be a restriction to make your life miserable the way that you've turned it into. The Sabbath rules are written to bless your lives and make your life a blessing before God. I understand that. I'm the rule on the Sabbath. And so it is with leprosy, right? I'm the rule on what it is to touch lepers. Jesus wasn't made unclean by touching the leper. He's the example that we are to follow when it comes to touching lepers. We're to love outcasts the way that Jesus loved outcasts. We will never get into trouble by loving people too much. We're never going to be too accepting, too forgiving, or too loving of other people. We're never going to get in trouble with God for touching too many lepers. Medical science makes Hansen disease a non-threat for those of us in our country. Now, you can go to parts of the world and catch leprosy if you want to. You'll have to try kind of hard to do it, but you can do that. But if you come back here, you can go to the hospital, spend a couple of days, take a couple of medicines, and you can be cured of leprosy pretty easily. It's not a hard disease to treat anymore. But do we have lepers today? Absolutely. They're just a different kind of lepers. There are people on the fringes of our culture that we treat as if they have leprosy. Those that are mentally disabled, those that are physically challenged, those that are chronically poor, those who are habitually homeless, people that don't speak our language, those that don't fit into our culture, and on we could talk about people that just aren't like us enough to fit in with us, people that make us uncomfortable. We can treat as if they have leprosy. In fact, unfortunately, there are groups that are treated like political footballs by some groups, played off against others. We're to love people the way that Jesus loved them. We must treat lepers the way that Jesus treated lepers. Now, unfortunately, our miracle bag isn't quite as deep as Jesus's was. We can touch them, we can accept them, we can love them, we can't heal them and take away their leperness. I just made that word up. The way that Jesus did. But we can touch them, accept them, love them. We can begin by acknowledging the value and worth of every single human being before God. We can also begin by acknowledging that we are all lepers, saved by God's grace. We are all hideously deformed by our sin until we were touched by Jesus. We aren't here today because we're good. We're here today because God is great. We're all lepers that fall on our face before Jesus. And all we can do is say, Lord, you can make us clean if you want to. That's all we have. That's the only thing that we can do, is simply come to Jesus and ask Him to cleanse us. And if we trick ourselves into believing that we have anything in us that makes us good, then that's what we're doing. We're deluding ourselves. The only good in us is what Jesus puts there. Let's pray together.